up, guys? Welcome. Wait, I can hear me. I can hear myself in your thing, Ryan. Okay. Anyways, guys, what is up? Welcome to the Think Computers Weekly Tech Podcast. This is episode 481. And of course, right next to me is my co-host, Ryan, who's fixing his audio because I guess he had his speakers on. But our podcast this week is brought to you by Amazon. If you go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon and happen to purchase something that helps us out and keeps the podcast running every week, maybe we'll get Ryan.
That's weird. That's weird headphones. That you could hear me because.
Yeah, I could hear it instantly. Yeah.
That's weird because I've used speakers before. I usually don't, but every now and then I'll just do speakers instead of headphones, and we've never had that issue.
So. I've been waiting. Asus had these earbuds at CES, and I'm waiting to get them. They're like, they sound amazing, and they go like over your ear. They're super comfortable too. I might start using those as like my main thing, but we'll see. But anyways, man, what's going on? It's another Wednesday. It's another podcast.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm ready to talk about we got a cool like case mod that I really liked. There's some cool hardware.
We have a lot of stuff to talk about. So we'll talk about one of the coolest motherboards that I saw at CES. I got it in, reviewed it. So we have that. We have a Gen 5 drive from ADATA that I had a chance to take a look at. We're gonna be talking about, there's some really cool old school stories too. Like TeamSpeak is coming back. If you guys don't know what TeamSpeak is, that means you're young and you don't remember TeamSpeak. TeamSpeak is coming back. Unreal Tournament 2004 got its first update in 20 years. Okay. So that is also happening. And then we have all of the RAM shortage woes stories. We have a bunch of things that are happening because of the RAM shortage and all of that. And we'll talk about that as well.
It's just spreading.
And maybe we'll talk about some doomsday scenarios, which I keep on seeing on social media. As well. So lots to talk about. If you guys did want to follow along, we of course have our show notes page that has everything that we're going to be talking about this week. So lots in there. Let's just jump right in to that motherboard. And that motherboard is the Asus ROG Crosshair X870E Dark Hero. So at CES, a lot of brands are doing a refresh of some motherboards. And with a refresh, there's not like, it's still X870E, it's not anything new, right? There's not a new chipset. Some tech has gotten a little bit better, but like most things are kind of the same. So like, how do you refresh this motherboard? And what essentially, from everything that I've gathered about this motherboard, it essentially like Asus took all of their X870E Crosshair boards, the original Hero, the Apex, the Extreme, and they molded them into this board. So this has pretty much all the features that like the highest end board, which was like the Apex, has. And then they've added a few more things as well. So you're getting a great value with this board as far as feature set. It looks excellent as well. So we'll take a look at it here. and it has, like I said, it is loaded out with features. And one thing that, so like I review a lot of motherboards, and I have for years. And this is the first time I've noticed this with a newer Asus motherboard. It's like you get the box, and you know, like most motherboard boxes, you have the motherboard, then you have to like lift up, take the motherboard out, and then all your accessories are kind of under it.
Underneath it, yeah.
And it's kind of like hard to like, if you want to put stuff back, it's just annoying. They've actually designed this so there's like a little pull out, and nice. It has all of your accessories. And like, as somebody, again, who like opens probably, I don't know, at least like 20 motherboards a year to review, I love this. It's like the littlest things. But that's really awesome. And you get a ton of different accessories in here as well. Things that like, again, I feel like the accessories for motherboards have just gotten worse and worse as far as what you get. This one, you do get some ROG stickers, which is you don't get on all, you know, Asus motherboards. You also get a ROG bottle opener, which is right here. It's made of all metal, so that's pretty cool. It's like a credit card size, so you can put it in your wallet. That's pretty cool there as well. But as we take a look at this board here, so it's the Dark Hero, so it's all dark. Black PCB with black heat sinks, black accents. The only thing that's really not black is this sort of mirrored piece right here. That's for their Polymo lighting, but it's an all black board. So again, if that's what you're going for, like even the ROG logo right here, which is like on other boards, it's typically silver or something. It's all black, completely blacked out board here. So like I said, and it is a normal ATX. They also showed at CES their X870E Glacial, which is the white board. That is big. That's, I think that's EATX. That's a big board. This one is just your normal ATX size. As far as your CPU socket, of course, this is a Ryzen board. We're going to have our AM5 socket here. And this has a 20+2+2 power phase design with 110 amp power stages for your CPU. So if you want to throw the highest end AMD processors on there, you'll be good. And these two heat sinks that cover your power delivery components, they are connected by a large heat pipe here as well. So it's going to keep everything nice and cool. I didn't run into any VRM overheating issues or anything like that. Completely solid. ASUS is one of the best when it comes to power delivery for their motherboards. Now, you might have noticed in this picture, like, here's our socket. Like, here's, like, what is this? Like, what is this? This new connection that we have here. We talked about it at our post-CES show, but if you missed that one, this is a little Pogo-style connection. And with newer ASUS AIOs, they're going to route everything through the motherboard. So when you install a pump block, typically you have sometimes it's a combo cable, sometimes it's just a USB cable that comes off of the pump block. Then you have to route that to your USB 2.0 header on your motherboard. Instead of doing that now, you have this Pogo style connection, which is going to connect with their new AIOs. So you just put the pump block on, you secure it, and those connections are connected, and now it's cleaner. You don't have that cable going around the backside of your motherboard tray or anything like that. So that's what you're going to see on newer ASUS motherboards. No clue if this is going to become a standard where ASUS opens this up to other brands. I don't know if it's patent pending or anything like that. I do know that there is one AIO that we saw at CES that will feature this. I assume this is the route they're going forward. Because it just makes sense, right?
Yeah, that's very cool.
Like, I know I asked you when we did our post CES, but like, what do you think of that? Since you're the AIO,
I think it's great. Like you kind of mentioned, right? If they can open it up to other brands, I think that would help out with the adoption of this. I think it's very cool.
Yeah, I like it. So that's the new thing you're gonna see on this board as well. Of course, dual 8-pin EPS connectors up top. They are metal reinforced. And then coming over, something ASUS has done on their higher end ROG boards is that all of your fan headers have these little covers on them. I just really like that. These are all 4-pin headers. Some are for fans, some are for your AIO pump and all of that. And I just really like that because sometimes these can get in the way, or like when you do your installation, like have you ever
hit one of these? Scratch? Oh yeah, that yeah. Sucks.
Yeah, scratch yourself. So
we need a better way to do 3-pin RGB though, because like I've been swapping AIOs a lot, and those are the worst to put on.
Yeah.
But yes, scratching yourself on these things sucks.
Yeah. So you have that, and then as you move over, of course, you have your. Why is this not opening? I think I honestly think that my Chrome is just messed up again. It's just messed up.
You've had this problem before.
Yeah. I know. But anyways, so you have your DDR5 slots. These feature ASUS's NitroPath DRAM technology. So long story short on that is that we've seen this since this generation of, and since Intel, this current Intel generation as well. ASUS essentially redesigned the DDR5 slots. Essentially, it just gives you better headroom. So if you wanted to do overclocking or like, you know, again, it just depends on your CPU sometimes, especially on the Intel side, depends on your CPU. Like if you can really run high frequency memory, this just gives you better headroom. It like I said, you can look up the tech, but this board has that, which is really, really nice. And then as we come to the end of the board here, debug, which I love to see even on like all board. Like I just love it because again, sometimes things mess up and the code's going to be the only way you kind of know what's going on. You have a start button here, flex key. This is programmable. So you can fully program this key. There are a handful of options. You can't like make it something, you know, but there are a handful of options for that. 24 pin plus you get an auxiliary 8 pin as well. If you needed more stable power going to your PCI Express slots, two USB right here. And they're, I believe one's 20 gig and one's 10 gig. So you have two type C's there, for front panel. And then you have four SATA ports right here, another USB as well. And then as we come to the bottom, this, it seems like this is like the new standard.
Board with it. Yeah.
Well, we have three USB 2.0 headers and then another USB header right here. So this is like loaded out with USB, which I love to see. Of course, the bottom half of the board is made up of heat sinks here. Top heat sink is very thick. It's made for Gen 5, NVMe, SSDs. This heat sink also features a vapor chamber. It's like the most advanced M.2 heat sink that ASUS has put out. So if you are running a Gen 5 drive, no problem when it comes to, you know, those getting hot or anything like that. This one features just a button here that just allows you to fully release it. And then you have your top slot. The top slot features their little slider. So you just put your drive in and just slide this over, locks it into place. Super easy to go ahead and do that. The bottom half of the board here, another heat sink. And again, it has a button right here. So this is the first ASUS motherboard that I've actually reviewed that all of the M.2 slots, the heat sinks, as well as your installation, the entire thing's toolless. So no screws at all for anything. So you just use that button right there. Like I said, it comes off. You have four more M.2s. Now you may think there's three, but there's one, two, three, and then there's a 2230 right here as well. This slot, your top slot's Gen 5. This one is also Gen 5. And then these bottom ones use their little tab here. So you just put your drive in and just like press the tab. It will lock it into place. You press that tab to remove the drive as well. So super simple. And again, everything's toolless, which I just love to see there as well. And you can see a better shot of the tab there. And then for your graphics here, two PCI Express 5.0 slots here. They both are metal reinforced, which makes you think that ASUS wants to use this board for two full-size graphics cards if you wanted to. The top slot has a button, which you can see right here. They kind of moved away from their previous where you could just like slide the card over. There were reports that it was like cracking the PCB of graphics cards. I never experienced that problem, but it's good to see that ASUS kind of listened to the community and was like, yeah, hey, we'll just put the button back on. It doesn't take up much space, and that allows you to release that slot pretty easily, which is good. So really, really like that there as well. And then coming down to the rear I/O here, big thing on the back, you get two USB 4 ports, type C's. You also get three more type C's because, again, a lot of our products are just moving to type C. You get three more 10 gig type C's as well. And then you get one, two, three, four, five, six more type A's that are 10 gig. You also get 5 gig LAN as well as 10 gig LAN. And then this board has full bandwidth Wi-Fi 7. So it's not the 160 megahertz. It's 320. So you use full bandwidth on this too. So this board is like loaded out. I mean, there's not a feature. Yeah. And like, I didn't even mention like you have BIOS flashback button as well as clear CMOS button. So no jumper, nothing like that. Super easy to go ahead and do. This board is fully loaded out. And you also have the metal on the back, which helps with rigidity as well as cooling some of those components. Looks awesome as well. So it's dark.
No Hero. M.2 on the back or anything, right?
No M.2 on the back.
Okay.
But yeah, just a, like this board is awesome. And one of my favorite features, again, you'll laugh. One of my favorite features of this board is they completely, let me go to it real quick. They completely redesigned the BIOS. So this is their new 64 megabyte BIOS as well. And if you've ever used ASUS's Armory Crate, the BIOS now looks a lot like that. Like, we have a full video. It's right here in the article if you want to watch this. But again, it's like such a good experience. It's the best BIOS experience I think that I've had. They have an easy mode. They have an essential mode, which is like easy mode with like a handful of more options of things you can do. Also in the easy mode, you can add shortcuts. So like if so like, you know how like you in a BIOS, you used to have like a My Favorites menu and you can add all your favorites, but it was just kind of like a list of different options. Now you can add them as icons in the easy mode. It was like, it's super, super cool. Another thing, because this is their 64 megabyte BIOS, it has the Wi-Fi driver built in. So I typically, like for our test systems, I usually use Wi-Fi. Like, so I'll go to this computer that I'm sitting at here. I'll download the Wi-Fi driver and then use like an Asus's case. They have their driver hub that will download everything, but I have to download the Wi-Fi driver on another system, get a flash drive and do it.
Yep,
now, when you install Windows, it's going to ask you if you want to install the Wi-Fi driver. So it's built in. It just saves you that whole process. So I absolutely love that. I think, like I said, one of the biggest upgrades I've seen from Asus in terms of their BIOS, there's a ton of other features that I didn't mention, but we have the full length BIOS walkthrough video in the article if you want to check it out. So definitely check it out. Just such an improvement. The lighting, the only RGB lighting on this board is going to be their Polymo lighting, which lights up the rear I/O cover. When you don't have your system on, this cover essentially looks like a mirror. And then there's RGB lighting under it. So you can set that up however you like within Armory Crate if you want to. Pretty simple for everything there. And I really, really like this board. It essentially is a top-end Crosshair motherboard from Asus. There's not a feature that I think is missing here, right?
Sure.
It has everything. Like, there's not much you wouldn't want here. Pricing wise, it is expensive because, again, it has everything. It's $700, which is quite expensive. But I gave it a 10 out of 10. Like, there's not a feature on this board that I couldn't find, right?
Yeah.
For everything, I really like that Asus kind of is giving you all of that USB connectivity. Like, it's insane the amount of USB connectivity you have on here, internal and external. There's five type C's on the back, on the rear IO, and then you can do the internal ones as well. I mean, this just has everything. Tons of M.2s. Yeah, really, really like it. Solid, you know, power delivery, everything. So if you're doing like a high-end Ryzen build, this is going to be a very, very solid motherboard. So one of my favorite boards that I reviewed as of late. So definitely, like I said, definitely check out the review. Board looks awesome there as well. And again, if you are doing a new build, you can, of course, team this with the AIO that has the Pogo-style connection on it there too. So, definitely check that review out. And then we'll move on to storage. And I took a look at a drive from ADATA. This is their XPG Mars 980 Blade. They have a version that's just, I believe it's just the Mars 980. That has a larger, I'm not sure if it's active cool, but it has like a larger heatsink on it. This one does come with a heatsink. You don't have to use it if you don't want to. That's the Blade version. How is it? We have a question in the chat. How is it while under heavy loads? Are you talking about I'm assuming you're talking about the motherboard, or are you talking about this drive? I assume you're talking about the motherboard. Motherboard was fine under heavy loads. I didn't run into any issues with thermal throttling when it came to the VRMs or anything like that. Very solid power delivery, and good cooling on that power delivery as well, if you were talking about the motherboard.
Did I see it, like there was like a fan included in the accessories?
That's for the memory.
Okay.
Yeah. So you can put that, it kind of attaches, you can put it for your memory.
Gotcha.
But yeah, so this drive from ADATA, this makes use of a Silicon Motion SM2508 controller. That's actually Silicon Motion's first Gen 5 controller. And then it uses Micron's 232-layer 3D TLC NAND, and then it has two 1 gigabyte DRAM cache chips, two 1 gigabyte. So one on each side of the drive here. And as I said, this does come with a heat spreader. It's not, it is a thicker metal heat spreader. It's not like a sticker that has some metal on it. Like, it's a true heat spreader. That's if you were, say, maybe installing this in something like a PlayStation 5, or if you may be installing it in a smaller device where you didn't have the M.2 heatsink, I would definitely run this with an M.2 heatsink. The reason is because I tested this with our M.2 heatsink on our motherboard, and then I tested it with just the heat spreader. In certain situations, it will thermally throttle with just the heat spreader. So, cool. So definitely keep that in mind. But this is a dual-sided drive as well. So let me go to the next page so I can show you guys. But the dual-sided drive, so the main side is going to have your controller, one cache chip, and then two of your NAND chips here. And then on the opposite side, there's a sticker, but under that sticker are two more of your NAND chips and then another cache chip on the other side. But overall, if you look at the performance of this drive, it really does just right up to the specifications. I mean, this is rated for 14,000 megabytes a second read and 13,000 megabytes a second write. And then like in almost all of our tests, it was like right up there. If you look at a lot of these tests, and one thing that I really did like to see, let me go to Crystal Dismark as well, just to show you guys, like, I mean, you know, right up to specifications when it comes to sequential. And then another thing, this has a really large SLC cache. So when you are doing long writes to the drive, you can see that it will actually write about 70% of the drive before you start to see performance degradation.
You gotta use your hand when you're talking.
That's a lot of data
to be like just constantly writing too. So I mean,
yeah, and without a massive performance, because like in a lot of drives it's like 20 to 30%. So it has a large SLC cache, which I like. The problem with this drive is essentially, and this is not ADATA's fault, is that its availability.
Yeah,
you cannot find this drive in the, like, so we reviewed the 2 terabyte. You can't find the 2 terabyte anywhere. You can find the 1 terabyte, but it's only being sold by third parties on like Newegg and Amazon. So of course it's going to be inflated at price. Like the inflated prices were around $240. That's just for the 1 terabyte. And the Crucial T710, which has very close to the same hardware, that is, let's see, that is being sold. Crap, that's just to the review. That's being sold for, I think, around 200 for the, a little over 200 for the 1 terabyte. But again, when it comes to memory and storage, prices are just like,
yeah,
all over the place.
Crazy.
So it's kind of, it's, we can't be objective on price. I'm just letting you know that it's very hard to find. But if you can find this at a reasonable price, I think it is a good drive. Performs well. And again, if you're using a heatsink, like the earlier versions of Gen 5 drives, even if you had a heatsink, it still would thermally throttle. Like you needed to push air over the heatsink, so it wouldn't thermally throttle. This is fine with just a heatsink. Old man in the chat says, doesn't a Gen 5 drive need a heatsink to run at full speed? It just depends on the drive. A drive like this with just a heatsink will be fine. This drive, again, as you can see, like it has a little heat spreader. It depends on what you're doing too. So if you're doing like sustained writes, that's going to put them. There's another bug in here, Ryan.
Dude, this is 2 weeks in a row.
I don't know why.
Only podcast time.
I know. It's like pod. It's like, I'm going to annoy Bob. But yeah, so this drive, if you're running it with just the heat spreader, you will see thermal throttling. If you're running it with the heat sink, you're not going to see any of that, even with sustained writes to this. It's just going to depend on the Gen 5 drive that you're using. That's why, again, read the reviews, especially reviews who test that, because again, some drives, they're fine. Some drives, like, again, I think it was the Crucial T705 that we reviewed. a while back, that drive, even if you had a heatsink on it, you still like had to, I put like a little fan
over top of that.
Yeah. So like, it just depends on the drive. A lot of the newer drives that you'll see come out, they're fine now when it comes to thermal throttling. But again, read the reviews. Again, this one, if you have a heatsink on your motherboard, you're fine. You won't run into any issues. And again, if you are installing any M.2, you should have a heatsink on your motherboard to use with it anyways. Just even if it's Gen 4, Gen whatever it is, you should do that just to keep your temperatures in check and for the longevity of the drive in general. You should do that. So check out that review. I gave it a 9 out of 10. Like I said, pricing availability right now, it's not 8.8's fault. And then again, it can thermally throttle if you're only using the heat spreader, which again, if you're installing this in a PC in a Gen 5 slot, like I don't know a motherboard that has a Gen 5 slot that doesn't have a heatsink. So anyways, that is that review. We'll move on to Case Mod Friday. And Ryan, you said you were excited about this one. Mm-hmm. This is Project Zero Dark from Tantric Mods. And the reason I chose this one is, I'm guessing this is why you might like it as well, is because it makes use of these 360 millimeter single fan. What would you even call these? Like arrays? Like a fan?
I haven't figured out like a good like word to use because I've encountered them in multiple AIO reviews lately. And I'm like, what do you call this?
Because fan array. Because it's an array of fans. It's an array of fans.
You don't necessarily want to say it's a 360 millimeter fan because people are going to think that it's like this huge round fan. But I don't know.
It's a 360 millimeter fan array, meaning that it's an array of three. That's what I'm going to say, at least until I get corrected by somebody who works for one of these companies. But this is cool because I think you're getting that different lighting option when it comes to this, right? Like with three 120 millimeter fans, you're not going to get this large outline, you know,
right?
It's just not going to look the same.
Yeah. The unbroken lighting strip is very cool. No, that's not why I liked this. I just liked the blackout. I do like that screen back there with just like the colored cubes that are there.
I like
the blacked out tubing, the hardware, just the compact look, right? Because it's in a smaller case. It's a smaller build, which at first you may not realize because the pictures are, you know, like kind of cropped and zoomed.
Yeah.
But, I thought it was a full size build at first, but it is a bit of a smaller build.
Yeah, I like this. I like the blacked out look, like you said. And it's kind of like, it's a pretty simple little build. It's nothing like, it's nothing crazy. You have the water cooled graphics card as well as the CPU. And if this looks like an AIO, Asus actually makes a water block that has the same screen as their AIO. So that's what.
And you don't have like the board's not lit up with RGB. You don't have RGB memory light lit up right now.
Well, that's what I think that's very muted. Yeah, I like that because like the fans and the screen back here are the star of the show, right?
Right.
That's what I kind of like about this. And again, this fan array just gives it a completely different look.
Yeah.
Is it only we have a question from John again. Is it only available for AIOs only?
I think they're the fan. And so a lot of these companies include it, but some of them are selling like a fan array.
I think we have it in the notes.
Thermal John's right? fans.
Wait, John's, where are you? Where am I? John. Yeah.
Second to last.
Let's see. Let's see if we can find these John's Bow fans. I think you can buy the fan arrays.
Yeah, some companies are offering them already. I know like Cooler Master has one, I think.
Yeah.
I don't remember who else I've seen lately. But yeah, they are probably going to become more
I don't know if this is it. We'll bring this up here. I think this is sort of it. This is on Newegg. So this is the John's Bow fan array. John's Bow ZA360B. So if you're looking for fans like this, you can just type in like 360 millimeter fan. Whether it's on Amazon, this is on Newegg, and this is
delivered to me in Wichita.
Right, delivered to Ryan. but these are, like I said, I really like these. it makes things so much easier. And again, it gives you that really cool look. Like, you know, I feel like the look of the build here is so much better. But
yeah, like
these
the
fans
color.
Yeah, these are cool. I really like these. So yeah. So shout out to Tantric Mods for this one. Of course, every Friday we feature a case mod or case build. So always stay tuned for that. If you're looking for it on the site, you just go to articles, case mod Friday, and then like you can essentially scroll forever because we've been doing this for a very, very long time. Now let's move on to our news for the week. And before we get into like the doom and gloom of the RAM shortage and everything else, let's talk about some good stuff. Let's talk about some things that are like good tech news, because it seems like tech news the past month has been
lately
been bad. So we're going to get to the good stuff first. So first off, Intel Arc GPUs, they got their XESS3 multi-frame generation update and very promising results. So if you're not familiar with XESS3, that's sort of like the Intel's version of multi-frame generation, or the same thing as Intel's, or not, NVIDIA's DLSS. So it's on its third generation now, multi-frame generation. And if you look at these results, these are from PC Games Hardware. I mean, if you look at Battlefield 6, 3X, 4X multi-frame generation, like 205% increase in Battlefield 6 as far as performance goes. Cyberpunk 202% at 4x frame generation. F1 230%. That's on the Arc B850. On the Arc A770, Battlefield 6 183% at 4x. Cyberpunk 190% at 4x. Dying Light 201. Like essentially almost up to 200% if you're 4xing your frame generation. And again, that exponentially brings your resolution that you can run games at so much more. Or if you're trying to hit an FPS at a certain resolution, this allows you to do it. And again, this breathes more life into these products. And as we talk about prices of graphics cards going up and shortages, tech like this is going to become incredibly important to extend the life of your graphics card more than, a couple generations, which again, who knows what's going to happen. And we'll talk about that in just a little bit here.
Yeah, this is great.
So I really like that. And it's good to see that Intel is very much making an effort to continually to upgrade these products, right? And to continually work on this tech. We always hear it from AMD and NVIDIA, but again, now, like I said, Intel's doing it as well. When it first came out, especially with NVIDIA, people were like, oh, these are fake frames. But now you can see like, yeah, you can turn it on or off, right? Whatever. We said, if you don't want to use it, don't use it. But now if you think about it, if I can't find a graphics card for a reasonable price for a couple years, flip the switch. I can, maybe I bought that new 4K monitor. I want a game full screen. I want a game at the full resolution. This helps with that. So I really like that there from Intel. Now, this is something really interesting, and I've only really think I've seen Samsung do this. So it's really cool to see Asus do this. So Asus came out with a OLED monitor, but it's also a smart TV at the same time. And I think if I was in college, this would be the perfect thing, right? Like if you're in college, this would be the perfect
thing. Yeah, if you're in like a standard dorm room where you're
Yeah, so this is the Strix OLED XG34WC DMTG. Comes with Google TV on it, so it's a smart TV. So it has all your apps, and you can run everything on it. I'm a big fan of products like this. And again, I think Samsung is like one of the only ones that actually has done this. Because again, if you think, and again, that's the use case that I'm actually thinking of. Or even in like your kids' room, right? They have like one little area for like maybe a TV or, and this is like 34 inches. So it's not like it's like a small little monitor, has the app so they can watch all their shows. They can do everything. Or if you're in college again, like you only have like a certain amount of space, So having one display that you can game on, but you can also, you know, watch all your shows, and you don't need, like, you know, these are all apps that run natively on the display.
Right, you don't have to run them on your PC.
Yeah, you don't have to run them on your PC or anything like that. And this is a 240 hertz refresh rate display, so it's not like it's a crappy gaming monitor either. So I really, really like this. I don't know if we have pricing on this thing. Yeah, $1,200. So yeah, okay, $1,200. So yeah, and it's an OLED. I did mention that, but it's an OLED.
Curve. It's got speakers, right? Yeah, 2 5-watt speakers.
Just yeah, it has speakers. It has all that stuff. So I like this. I'm a fan of this. I'm sure if this picks up for Asus, I could see them coming out with more products like this that kind of mix the two.
Yeah,
and I don't believe the Samsung Smart Monitor is not a gaming monitor. Like, this is a gaming monitor that they put Google TV on.
Yeah,
you know, because they have another version that's just the OLED monitor. That's like, it's an ROG gaming monitor. Gotcha. So I like this implementation. If you are that gamer that's going to school, or like you only have enough money for like one, you know, one thing, you can use this, which would be great. So sweet. Really like that. Do you remember the early days of online gaming, as this bug lands on me again? You know, and like voice chat came along, and there was this,
oh yeah,
there was this thing called TeamSpeak. Do you remember TeamSpeak?
I was more of a vent user, a Ventrilo.
Okay, Ventrilo.
User.
Okay.
But I mean, I used TeamSpeak as well. So yeah.
So we didn't cover it. We could have talked about it last week, but apparently Discord is going to require you to upload a photo of your ID to use Discord.
Really? I the only reason I know about this is because we're talking about it now. I didn't realize that was a thing.
Yeah, because like, you know, younger kids on, you have to be over a certain age. But the problem, the big issue that I see is like, I don't know, maybe it was a year ago, Discord had like a massive security breach, yeah, and like a lot of people's data was already, so now you already had this data breach. Now you want me to upload a photo of my ID.
Nope.
Yeah, so TeamSpeak is now, because TeamSpeak's still out there, right? It's still, yeah. I mean, people use it, I guess. Now
they refreshed it though.
Yeah, so now it's seen a massive user surge because the new Discord age verification policies, and they put out this thing, TeamSpeak put out this thing, with the incredible surge of new users joining TeamSpeak and subscribing to communities, current hosting capacity has been reached in many regions, especially in the United States. Yeah, I mean, here's a question. Are you going to upload your ID to Discord?
When is this rolling out?
I don't know.
I'm a little behind on this, apparently. No, I don't like that at all.
You didn't know about this? This was like big news.
No.
It says, starting in March 2026, Discord is implementing a global teen by default policy requiring users to verify their 18 plus via government ID or facial age estimation. So if it takes my photo, that's okay.
Yeah, I don't care about that.
Yeah. Access area, unrestricted accounts.
So, I mean, I guess like, well, it's bad either way, but like if
I mean, they're still gonna have that photo.
Use it, but it's yeah.
They're still gonna have that, like, and I'm guessing it's like they're gonna use your camera and like kind of 3D scan your face, maybe, or you use your phone and kind of 3D scan your face. I don't know. I mean, do you want that data out there?
I mean, I think we're kind of like kidding ourselves if we don't think it's already out there somewhere.
But, yeah, that's
a lot more of it out there.
That's, I mean, the ID thing I was kind of weird about, because I was like, what are we going to do? Because we have, like, obviously we have a Discord community. Like, mm-hmm. You know, I don't, beyond like government stuff, like paying my taxes online, I'm pretty weird about like, or like, you know, you have to like do your ID for your like insurance and things like that.
Sure.
Beyond that, I'm pretty weird. Like, I don't know if I would like want to update like for Discord to like scan my ID.
Right.
Like, it's like not like, I mean, yeah, like you can, I mean, I guess you trust your like insurance provider, right? But, and like you think Discord's massive, like it is, and they already had a data breach once, like recently too. And this whole thing is going to make them even a bigger target, you would think. Right?
Yeah.
So interesting. We'll see what happens with all of that. But yeah, TeamSpeak's back on the rise, which is pretty cool. And I'll skip one story and we'll go to the Unreal Tournament one. So talking about things that are old, Unreal Tournament 2004, which is an excellent game if you've never
played it. It is great, yeah.
It's returning as free-to-play. First patch in two decades. This is because the old Unreal community was able to get permission from Epic to do this. So now it's free to play. It's been updated. So I guess it can run like, you know, it can natively run. Like it's not like
higher resolutions.
Yeah, higher resolutions and things like that on current hardware. And it's free to play now. So if you wanted to jump, back into Unreal Tournament 2004, you can go ahead and do that, which I think is amazing. So
yeah, I played a little bit of 2K4 back in the day.
Yeah, so
it's good.
Yeah, it's a good game. So that's really cool to see. I love seeing stuff like that. Talking about new games, what was it called? There was some. PlayStation Play. There was some event that went over new games. I don't even know what it's called because I didn't watch it, but I saw this game come out of it. Star Wars Galactic Racer. It is a Star Wars themed pod racer game, which I think is pretty cool.
Surprised they haven't had one. Have they had one of these before?
There has been pod racing in some of the Star Wars
games, but not a full game.
Yeah, so this is the thing. It looks good. The graphics look good. Like I said, we have the trailer. Yeah, I think it looks good. I don't know. I'm always a fan of this. I love the Star Wars universe in general. So having a pod racing game, and especially like a game that like, I'm assuming there's going to be multiplayer, obviously, but like maybe I can load this up and just like have fun racing, like just play.
Well, hopefully you can build your ships, you know,
or like, yeah, upgrades and stuff like that. And yeah, it looks good. Like I said, watch the trailer, guys. I think it's a pretty cool looking, at least for me. Again, I'm a Star Wars
Mandalorian person, so. and Grogu movie coming out too.
I did see that.
I haven't watched the trailer yet.
So when it comes to 2-in-1 devices, I mean, there's only a couple. Like you have a Microsoft Surface, which has gotten rave reviews. In the times that I've used one, I've never had one like as my own, but I have used it. I really like it. Of course, you have like an iPad but that's a tablet. That's not necessarily a 2-in-1. Lenovo is going to come out with a ThinkPad that's a 2-in-1.
Okay.
So it's a ThinkPad X13 detachable. So these pictures leaked of this device. They haven't really had something like this. And for all of you ThinkPad people, it has the nub. It has the red nub. Were you a red nub person?
No.
I used it a couple times, but I'm not. I like the trackpad. I don't like using the nub.
No.
But it has the nub if you want to use the nub. So
people, there's diehards though. They're like, they love it.
Yeah, that's what I think like this is a good thing for, you know. Mm-hmm. So 13-inch. It's going to use Intel Core Ultra Panther Lake H processors. So it's going to have really good performance. I mean, it looks tiny.
It looks like a Surface.
And I like that the keyboard comes up at an angle like that, too.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of that. Like I said, it looks like a sleek piece of hardware. Here you can see the back and everything like that. And one thing I always like to see on these is like, I look and I'm like, okay, this looks like the metal. Hinge. Yeah. The hinge, like it's gotta be because you're going to open this up a lot, to do that. So really like that.
It reminds me a lot of the cert. Like I had the original Surface Pro. Actually, I still have it. But yeah, just the nice metal material.
And if you think about it
on these, it's going to be sweet.
If you think about it for like a ThinkPad user, right? That is, I mean, there are like high-end ThinkPad users who like use ThinkPads for like modeling, 3D modeling and stuff like that. But if you think of like the majority of ThinkPad users, you give like a company gives ThinkPads out to their employees and they're mainly checking email, doing processing, not a whole lot of intensive stuff. And like a 2-in-1 with new hardware, I think is the perfect thing. And it makes it really great for travel, I think too. So, yeah, old man in the chat said, I had an old laptop from the 90s that had the nub. It worked fine for simple browsing. Yeah, like I feel like people either love or hate the nub, but like it has such a cult following. Like they can't, like Lenovo can't take it out of the ThinkPad. No. Like they say, like no. It would be, it's like, I think they did for like one generation and people were like revolted
out about it. Yeah.
Yeah.
So there were some Dells that had a similar,
yeah.
I think you can still get it on some maybe.
Yeah. This is supposed to be announced at Mobile World Congress, which is coming up March 2nd to the 5th. No word on pricing, cool. But yeah, pretty cool. Like that there as well. And now we're going to move to the doom and gloom part of the show where we talk about how things are more expensive and the AI boom and the RAM shortage and everything like that. And I think we said this and in the podcast is like, we didn't initially, like with the RAM shortage, we saw obviously like memory get really expensive, but we didn't see it hit other products just yet because there was inventory of those products. You could kind of get them at the right around the same prices. But now we're seeing it hit graphics cards, and it's not as dire as DDR5 is, but it's still not great. If you look at some of these graphs, and these are from, who are these from? These are from Hardware Unboxed. If you look at some of these pricing, from November of 2025 to February 2026, RTX 5070 here in the United States up 15%. Highest is Germany and India over 20%. The RTX 5070 Ti, it's up 25% on average. In the United States, it's up 37%.
Good Lord.
39% in India, and Germany is 33%. Yeah, so that one has gone up quite a lot. If you look at the RX 9070 on the AMD side, that has only gone up slightly, 7% on average, and the 9070 XT up 70% on average, or 7% on average, but that's on average. Look at the United States, the 9070 XT, it's up 21% in price. So that takes you from 580 to 700 in the United States for a 9070 XT. And if you look at the other one, a 5070 non-TI went from 480 to 550. The 5070 TI in the United States goes from 730 to 1,000. Remember when 1,000 got you a 5080?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Now it's down to 5070 TI. I wonder how low that's going to go. You know,
yeah, it's horrible.
Yeah, so that's on the graphics card side. It's hard to say that it's going to get better.
Yeah, like it's hard to put that genie back in the bottle when it comes to pricing, right? Like,
yeah. So, moving on from that, Steam Deck out of stock. And that's because of all of the shortages. Steam Deck's out of stock in US, Canada, Japan. And this is mostly the OLED version. But out of stock. And Valve came out and said, yeah, it's because of supply chain is like shortages. They don't have enough to make, to have availability of these. So this is another thing. And you're going to see this with, again, more of these. I feel like if you want to buy something and you see it in stock at a reasonable price, you should buy it. We don't want you to like frantic buy, which is never good. Especially if you're looking at like a gaming, like one of these are going to be hard to keep in stock. You know what I mean? So whether it's the Steam Deck, whether it's the ROG Ally, like the MSI one, like any of them, if you see it in stock at a reasonable price, it might be a time to pick it up because these are going to be really hard to keep in stock because these aren't the high volume products from these brands. So if Valve's different obviously because they don't make a lot of products, but it's like say an Asus, right? They're going to allocate more of those components towards other things, not mobile handhelds.
Not the Ally.
It's going to go for their laptops. It's obviously going to go towards graphics cards and other things. So you want to keep that in mind. That's all I'm going to say. But yeah, Steam Deck completely out of stock, which is pretty. Old man in the chat said, my 32 gigabytes of RAM cost more than what I paid for my motherboard and 1 terabyte M.2 drive. Yep. It's getting bad. DDR5 is at its worst currently, and it might keep on getting worse. So Western Digital, they're one of the biggest hard drive makers in the world. And with AI, all of that storage is actually, it's not solid state. Most of it is your physical hard drives because they have the higher capacities, right? 20, 30 terabyte capacities, which you need for all of that. Well, they have just announced that they've completely sold out of their capacity through 2026. That's all sold out. It's already, they know they're going to come out with so many drives. They have a capacity for so many drives, and that has already been ordered by whoever has ordered it. So they're completely sold out of 2026. Yeah.
Wild. Yeah. It's
absolutely wild.
It's gross.
Yeah. Moving on from that, PlayStation 6, right? We have the new consoles coming out, and the biggest thing with console releases since the dawn of console releases is price point, right? Price point compared to previous because if it's more than the previous, it has to be exponential.
A lot better.
Right? PlayStation 6 possibly pushed back to 2028-2029.
Damn.
Because, again, global shortage, if you're paying so much for the memory that needs to go in here and all of the other components, it's going to make it way too expensive to put out. And again, when you have a global launch of a new flagship product, which this is going to be, you're going to need a lot of units. And if there's only so much supply, you can't supply all that demand. It makes the launch bad, right? It's just not good for the company.
Yes, demand is good, and you don't want to have too much, but you definitely don't want to have not enough.
Yeah, you don't want to have 10,000 units at launch. Like you need, I mean, when it comes, I would assume PlayStation, you would want 100,000 units at least.
Yeah,
at launch.
What those numbers look like. Yeah. But yeah.
And then here's the really interesting story that I saw. So Phison CEO says many consumer electronic companies will go bankrupt by 2026, by the end of 2026, because of the memory shortage. And this kind of leads us to our question of the week. Do you think we'll see this happen? And what type of brands do you think will be affected by this?
So I was reading up on this a little bit today, and I think it's possible, right? It's going to be your smaller brands that can't afford to take a hit or pay more or don't have the buying power that a larger one does. So many crappy devices that are just have memory in them for whatever, just a real crappy smartwatch or a camera, security camera. That's a piece of trash anyways. Right. But it meets a price point.
Yeah. That's,
but
yeah.
It's worthless. It's just not a good experience, but people buy it because they don't want to spend more.
Yeah.
I think those are the ones that are going to
$20 smartwatches on Amazon.
Right. Right.
Can't keep that price. It's going to go up to 50. Right.
Yeah.
At 50, you're better off buying an older Apple Watch or an older device or an older, a Samsung or whoever makes,
Yeah. I forget the component I was reading about, but it was it had gone from $1.50 or something, and now it's $20. Right. So you just had this exponential price increase. And if it was already a $50 component or even a $100 component, that's such a huge increase in component costs that your margins are just blown out of the water.
Yeah, I think you're right when it comes to those type of companies. You're going to see a lot of those just disappear.
Which on one hand, I'm kind of well, good, because if you're just creating e-waste, right? That's all. The things sell, but yeah, that's where we're going to see it is those types of companies that just don't have the buying power to keep selling.
Yeah, I'm trying to think what else.
But think of a Samsung fridge that has a TV and a camera in it, right? I don't know if they even still make those anymore, but I think you'll see scaling back on products like that because
I think that doesn't make sense. I think
but if that's the only product you make is a fridge with a screen, you're done.
Yeah, I think the big companies will be fine. I think if you're even if you're solely making is there a company that just makes laptops?
The one that comes to mind.
If you solely made laptops, your cost is going to go up so much that people aren't going to, like, your sales are going to decline so heavily because of the cost.
Unless you can negotiate other components, right?
Yeah. Or some, like, it's going to be pretty crazy to see all of this, right? And yeah, I'm just trying to think of, like, yeah, I think you're right. We'll see a lot of those, like, again, at cost brands that are just, you know, they put out kind of, like you said, like kind of like e-waste products, but they serve a point and they're a price point, right? Like I said, the $20 smartwatch or whatever. Well,
and then it could also affect like those companies that are maybe just starting up and they actually have a good product, but they don't have any market share or just enough visibility in the market that they're just going to fail because of bad timing.
Yeah.
Right. Those are the ones that are going to get hit and hurt.
Yeah. I keep on seeing these like memes on social media where it's like a scene from a movie where there's like these like Marines going in and it's like NVIDIA when they find out your old calculator has like 32 kilobytes like of
coming
memory.
After it.
But like here's what it makes you really think, because like when it comes to like global superiority or whatever, we are in like a not yet, but like we are at a point where like that is like a national asset having that stuff, right? So do you ever think there'd be like, you know, China's gonna go in, take over Taiwan and like take like, you know, specifically for the capacity of those things. Like you're gonna see raids of like, you know, the like, do you ever see that in the future?
Well,
that'd be a really good movie. I think
what I think is going to happen is, and we didn't have a story about it this week, but like there's been stirrings of like, maybe we talked about it last week. I don't remember. The Chinese manufacturers of RAM, right? Spinning up and like taking advantage of this type of strain on the big three. Right. Those coming into play. And then like, what does that do for the global economy? Right. Because the US isn't necessarily going to want to buy Chinese DRAM for multiple reasons. But we don't have the capacity on the continent to support.
Yeah.
This,
and
right?
even at like, I mean, most of the things are in Taiwan, like even Taiwan doesn't. And they've already announced like three new fabs. I think Micron
they'll take years to build.
Yeah, that's what I mean. So like, we're not going to catch up.
No.
Yeah, it's going to be old man in the chat says new budget laptops are only 4 gigs now. So that's like what, 3 Chrome tabs? You know, it's going to. Yeah. You know what it could lead to? I was just thinking about this. This RAM shortage could lead to better programmed apps so they don't use as much memory.
Well, no, what it's going to lead to is nobody can afford to buy anything and it's all subscription based and you will own nothing and you will like it.
Yeah, you'll actually rent your RAM. You'll download your RAM.
Download RAM will be a real thing.
Yeah.
I mean, think about it. Like if you can't afford to, or they're not making like a CPU or a graphics card, right? They just stop and you've got to do cloud gaming, right? You don't own anything anymore. And if you want to do any of that stuff, you've got to have a subscription to it.
So, yeah. Maybe it will bring us back to what they originally, like when computers became a thing, they originally thought it would be a terminal where you would interact with a mainframe somewhere else. That was like the original idea for computers before it was kind of like Apple came along and made the personal computer. So maybe we'll get back. I mean, we were kind of in that direction with like the cloud gaming and stuff.
Yeah, everything's
like that.
Internet based anyways, but yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, man, it's going to be, I think I said this last week, it's hard to have a good outlook on this for the consumer, for, again, some brands who just like, you know, it's going to dramatically cut into sales of a lot of brands. And again, even a big company like an HP, like a Samsung, whatever, they're going to have to, because their sales are going to go down, they're going to have to restructure some things, maybe cut product lines completely, you know, not spend as much money on R&D of new products. So like innovation goes down as well.
Yeah.
All of that stuff. So it's going to be an interesting next couple of years. Well, yeah, I don't see it stopping. You know what I mean?
No, not anytime soon.
Old man says, when you stop the payments, you must return the laptop leasing.
Yeah, forever. HP has a laptop rental program now. So you just, yeah, you rent it.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. So really interesting. But those are the doom and gloom stories of the week. And that is the end of the news. Hopefully we'll get some better stories next week. So not as much doom and gloom. Talking about what we have coming up next week, I'm taking a look at another NVMe SSD. This one is from Clev, and the website's not loading, but it is their Crass C925G. Oh, there it goes. And this is a Gen 4 drive. So I'll be taking a look at that one as well. 7,400 megabytes a second, read 6,500 megabytes a second, right? So still very, very fast. Yep. And then Ryan is taking a look at an ASRock AIO. And if you didn't know, they make AIOs. We covered this at CES, but Ryan's taking a look at the Phantom Gaming 360. Yeah, Phantom Gaming 360 LCD. And this has a 360 millimeter fan array on it as well.
It does.
Yeah,
it looks pretty cool. It's got a nice little fan for your VRMs too.
It's a
pretty nice AIO.
And this is like their first generation of AIOs too. So, I saw this one at CES. Be interesting to see performance. And then I'm software is a big thing for me. So see how this software works.
I've been fighting some software from another vendor this last weekend, and it was just so frustrating.
Yeah, yeah. So we'll see how the software works. I think those are the two biggest things when, like, instead of buying like the known brand, the Corsair, a lot of people hate their software as well, but you know, like the known brand when it comes to an AIO, oh, do I go with an ASRock? You know, I like their motherboards, but I don't know about the AI. So like, we'll see what happens with that review. So definitely stay tuned for that one for Ryan. And we already did our question of the week, which is, you know, if we see any brands going out of business because of the RAM shortage, is there anything else tech related or anything else you want to talk about?
I don't think so. I think I'm good. I covered it. Yeah, it's just kind of depressing news. Like I follow like the data hoarder subreddit, and so like that one's just been blowing up with like drive prices and availability and all these, you know, stories and just like what things cost now. And you know, I follow like the Home Lab and, you know, all of those subreddits as well. And so it's a very big topic in all of those too. So
yeah. Yeah, so it's going to be an interesting time. But like I said, follow along with us. Like I said, every week, of course, we do the podcast, so we'll talk about everything. But of course, follow us on social media. We're always posting stories about kind of what's going on with all of that. And of course, in the tech and gaming world as well. Ryan's going to be doing some gaming. I am fortunately going to be editing in a videos that you guys will see tomorrow on YouTube. And it's one of my favorite products that I reviewed lately, but it's also... I think the video is really good. I might be biased, obviously, but I spent some time on this one. So stay tuned for that tomorrow on our YouTube channel. That video is going to be launching tomorrow. So definitely stay tuned for that. But Ryan will be over on Twitch, twitch.tv/syncomputers. Or what are you going to play since I'm not playing?
I don't know. We'll see if Shinny's going to be around. I think he is. So we'll probably just play some Apex, maybe some Arc Raiders. I don't know.
Yeah. So Ryan will be over there. We will catch everybody next week. And of course, thanks everybody for coming out in the live chat. We had Old Man and we had John in there. So thank you guys for commenting, and we'll see everybody next week.